Mick Carucci at the PNC Bank in Strongsville on Royalton Road. The PNC Bank Cleveland Browns tailgate party. The third in our series. Got a lot of people showing up here today. There's food and beverages and some fun stuff going on. We've had Devon Bess here. We're going to have Jordan Cameron show up at about 5 o'clock. He'll be signing autographs from 5 to 6 p.m. Be sure to stop by on such a beautiful day, an almost picture-perfect day here in Northeast Ohio. And we are so pleased to be joined. Nathan Zagura is back in the studio in Berea, but joining us from KNR studio is our great buddy and the third wheel on this show. His name is Gerard Cherry. Gerard, how are we doing?
I am doing well. And I guess if you guys allegedly suck, that means I suck too.
Thanks for joining us in that area. No, we appreciate that.
No problem.
Yes, you gotta have our back. Hey, I came across a stat here that I thought all three of us would find interesting. So far, after 2 weeks of the NFL season, you're talking about the most games decided by 7 points or fewer through this stage. It's 22 now after 2 weeks. That compares with 19 in 2010. 18 in 2000, and then a whole bunch of teams in many years tied at 17. So a record set so far in the first two games of the season with games decided by 7 points or fewer. What does that say to you, Gerard?
That says that the NFL's accomplished what it's always trying to accomplish, Vic, and that is creating parity. That way all fan bases feel that they have a chance. If you're watching baseball and basketball and you're an avid fan of that, you pretty much go into the season assuming that your team, especially if you're in a smaller market, do not stand a chance. But that's not the case with the NFL. When you point a number out like that, Vic, that tells me that, hey, if I can just score a field goal here, touchdown there, and in Brown's case especially, we have a chance of being 2-0 or having a better record or getting somewhere meaningful in the course of this season.
Yeah, and it also, I think, says to me that the offenses, generally speaking, outside of Cleveland, are playing better and are able to close gaps at the end of the game. I think we've seen more garbage time touchdowns and passing at the end of games than maybe we've ever seen before. And, Gerard, what's your take on the fact that it has just become such a dominant passing league right now and that really, if you can't score, you can't win?
I like it because it creates exciting football, Nathan. And the thing, too, that I observe early on in the season, we tend to forget this, is that your veteran-laden teams are going to have the advantage because these guys have chemistry. They worked out together. They played together for a longer time because we still forget that this will be actually most guys' second true, real game of playing four full quarters. And it's going to be about week 3-4 that you actually get your football conditioning to a place where you actually say, I'm in shape. So for those teams that are putting up those passing numbers, it makes sense that an Aaron Rodgers is doing what he's doing, what a Peyton Manning is doing what he's doing. I would like to throw Tom Brady in there, but obviously he's throwing to a bunch of rookies, so that doesn't help his cause. But look around the league, and the guys putting up those big numbers are the more established football teams and older quarterbacks.
We had Devon Bess on the show a little while ago, and one of the things he said, Gerard, was, you know, with regard to Josh Gordon coming back and what that can mean to a slot guy, basically be the best friend of a guy in his position, help open things up. I mean, I think we haven't certainly gotten the full feel for Devon's role, but it looks like we've seen him get open. We've seen him show the reliability of those hands. We haven't seen always the best targeting of the ball coming his way, but overall, I'm still bullish. I'm still optimistic on the impact he can make, and I guess more so now with the idea that somebody like Gordon can help open things up on the outside.
Yeah, and that's a great and astute point by Bess in that he recognizes and realizes if you have someone out there on the football field, the defense is going to respect and believe they can take the top off the coverage. And when you say that, that means he can just get behind the safety and the quarterback. You have to respect that and not play closer to the line of scrimmage, which is basically what most teams have been doing to defend Brandon Weeden of late. So Bess will get a lot of one-on-one matchups with linebackers and safeties, and he's going to eat that up all day because of his skill set. So, yes, you get Josh Gordon back in the building. That should help out big time with this offense. And you thought Jordan Cameron was productive. Just imagine what it's going to be like now that he's going to get more single coverage as opposed to double coverage as well, because the focal point of the offense will shift to a Josh Gordon. The thing that concerns me, though, Vic and Nathan, is this. Is Josh Gordon ready to handle those type of expectations? Should he be handling those type of expectations is what I'm concerned about and worried about. And if he does have success, how does he deal with that success?
I was just going to ask you, what makes you worry?
Just when you know that you're the man and that your team, he relies on you and can't do it without you, how do you respond to that? Do you work harder? for the team, or do you rest on your laurels and say, you know what, here I am, I'm going to do what I want to do and take advantage of the situation? How is he going to respond is what I mean by that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it, you know, I think a lot of people are interested to see how this all plays out, because I don't think that the organization wanted its offense to be so Josh Gordon dependent as it looks like it potentially may be. It's a lot to put on a guy entering his second year, you know, after missing two games, not practicing for the last 2 weeks, because I think there will be a lot of eyeballs on Josh Gordon. There will be a lot of expectations for Josh Gordon and what he's going to be able to do this week and going forward. So it certainly is a situation that bears watching, and I think you're right about that. My question, though, the thing that worries me the most is this ground game and what's going on with the Cleveland Browns running the football, because if Brandon Whedon is out for a little while, whether regardless of your opinion about Brandon Whedon, that means the Browns will be playing without their best quarterback. Even that Brandon Whedon is the best quarterback on this team, I don't think there's any debating about that. But this ground game is going to need to step up, and thus far it hasn't. How can they get this ground game going, Gerard?
That's a great question, Nathan. And I heard earlier when a caller called in and he made the comments regarding Joe Thomas not being good enough and the Browns should get rid of him. Obviously, we're not going to go down that road, and we don't think that's a great idea or a good idea or a rational idea at this stage of the game. But I will say this in the caller's defense. This offensive line is not in that mode of the Hogs from the Washington Redskins of the 80s. They're more of a, come across more of a finesse blocking type of a scheme, and maybe the Browns need to consider a zone blocking game as opposed to a man-on-man power type of approach, because it's not getting it done, because you don't have guys out there that are really those type of grinders, beat you down physical types. It's more of a finesse game, and Joe Thomas I consider more of a finesse blocker as opposed to nasty punch you in the face and in the gut type of a guy.
Right. No, I like that perspective. I think this team's got to get more creative offensively to help open things up to get Trent Richardson in the space where he accelerates the most, and that is outside. And however you do it, I think there's a schematic way that that can be accomplished.
Right.
And you hit it best. It maybe is more of a zone feel. Maybe it is more finesse type of blocking to take advantage of the type of people you have. These guys do not – I mean, the scrappiest lineman that the Browns have is Sean LaValle. He's not in there.
Right.
I don't know if he's coming back this week, but he's the chippy, strong, physical guy. Everybody else is primarily in that pass protection mentality.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a power running game with a power back, because that's, let's face it, that's what T. Rich is. He's a power back. He's not a finesse breakaway game speed back right now at this stage of the game. He's not coming across that way. So if you're going to have a power back, last time I checked, finesse line and power back do not go together.
Yeah, well, then you got a dilemma, because last night I saw a guy in Giovanni Bernard who was explosive. Who they got out in the open field, and I know he's a different style of runner. Mm-hmm. He's a smaller, compact guy. He's more, I guess, of that Deion Lewis sort of version. Mm-hmm.
And Darren he is Sproles, missed. My
you know,
goodness.
And he's fast, and he's so fast. And Lewis is missed, as you point out. But the difference between that team and the Steelers last night was the Bengals were able to run it, and the Steelers are not. And the Bengals also had Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to give them something in the way of a run game. We're not seeing any production there, and I think you're right. I mean, I think this is a key point for this team to straighten out, not just along with the passing game getting figured out, and we'll see how that works out with the quarterback question being settled. But I think the running game solution has got to come and come fast.
It has to, because you can't be one-dimensional. That makes it way too easy for Leslie Frazier and his defensive coordinator this weekend to figure out a game plan for you. If you know just by line up and cover three a base defense, you can shut down the Browns' running game. That makes it simple. You can play for the pass and the run. So you got to be more creative to force the defense to think. Put them in a position in which there are mismatches, and there have not been any, because you can just go out there and scheme and say, hey, these guys cannot beat us running. Force Brandon Whedon to beat us with the pass, and it's been glaringly obvious that Browns have not been able to do that with the throwing 19 times in a row. Brandon Whedon is not in a position right now where he can carry this team with his arm. It's just what it is. I hope that changes for whoever's there this weekend, but right now as it stands, you have to have a balanced attack, and more importantly, for Norv Turner's offense. This is a play-action pass offense. I'm sorry, if I'm a safety right now, I'm not honoring the run fake. Why would I?
Right, right, would you? And it's, and more important, I think certain teams can get away with being one-dimensional when they're getting one-dimensional with their strength. I think if you look at this Browns team, mm-hmm. you think the strength is going to be running the football ultimately, not necessarily throwing it. So I think your point is very well taken there. As you look ahead to this Minnesota game, though, again, I think that this is a game where the defense of the Cleveland Browns, which has been playing very, very well, matches up extremely well with the strengths and weaknesses of the opponent mm-hmm. and in the Minnesota Vikings. And I think that, again, the Browns can find a way to put any kind of points on the board. This is a very winnable game because they can, not that you can stop Adrian Peterson, but they did a great job on Ray Rice. They completely eliminated a Miami Dolphins ground game that actually looked much, much better in week number two. And now you get Adrian Peterson. If you take him away, Christian Ponder doesn't scare anybody. I mean, Christian Ponder, I think many, I'm sure that people in Minnesota wish Christian Ponder was Brandon Whedon's age so they would move on already from Christian Ponder.
Oh, man, that's cruel. Christian Ponder, let's see, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So right there, you're saying to yourself, if you're the defense, shut down Adrian Peterson and force Jerome Simpson as well as Greg Jennings and Cordarrelle Patterson to beat us. And if that takes place, then that's going to be on the secondary. Granted, it's a team game. But, yes, it's a perfect matchup this week for the Browns. And if you look at how the Minnesota Vikings have been losing football games, it's because the Detroit Lions as well as the Chicago Bears, they both have that deep threat that forced Detroit Tigers where they couldn't lock in on one thing. So the return of Josh Gordon could not have been coming any better of time because it works out that you'll be able to get those free openings for a Devon Best as well as a Jordan Cameron. So I went into this week thinking the Browns didn't stand a chance in this game, but as more and more I look at the matchups,
I agree,
and I'm hoping that the defense is not fatigued and tired or the offense not doing its part, that if they come out there and play for a hellacious effort to shut down Adrian Peterson, the Browns actually have a great chance in this game. But then again, the next question is, who's the quarterback? Because right. then you're going to have a situation where Jason yeah. Campbell hasn't played any meaningful time, and if it's Hoyer, is he ready?
That is going to be the lingering question. But this is a game that we've all agreed has been winnable for this team, and you want to still kind of go there and maintain that. But you just raised the biggest question as to why doubt might creep in on that one. So we'll see how it all plays out. Gerard, thank you. And, of course, people can catch you. It's Hooley and Gerard. That's coming up after hang on 1 second. Thank you. Hooley and Gerard, I got all choked up over that.
That's right.
That is coming up after this show at 3 p.m., so make sure you're tuned in for that. And we will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Sounds good, Vic and Nathan. Take care, guys.
Take care.
And continue sucking.
That's right. Especially when you're sucking down sushi at Tomo Sushi and Hibachi.
Gerard Sherry here for Tomo Sushi and Hibachi Restaurant.
More coming up from the PNC Bank on Royalton Road in Strongsville. Come join us for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns tailgate party. Vic Carucci here. Got Nathan Zagura back in the studio. Jordan Cameron will be out here at 5 p.m. He'll be here from 5 to 6 signing autographs and posing for pictures. There's food. There's refreshments. Hang out on a beautiful day. I mean, a gorgeous, perfect, picture-perfect day here of Northeast Ohio. You got to be part of it. And there is more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNO.